We're back, and we're still trying to reach Susanna, and I'm sure we will in a bit, but let me just get into a little bit of her article. She starts it off by saying, James Michener, Paul Gauguin, and Marlon Brando were right, and what she's saying they're all about is they were right about Tahiti. And hello, Suzanne.
Hi, Roy.
We were trying you, obviously, on the wrong number for a bit. And,
you must have been. I know. Here I am sitting here waiting for you.
and what did we get? We got your voicemail. And here I am, been stumbling over reading parts of your article. And anyway, let's start it and let's get back to the beginning. It's okay. Tahiti. It's James Michener, Paul Gauguin, and Marlon Brando were right by Suzanne Wright. And you go on to say, boy, you sure could get used to this, the most beautiful islands in the world. Let's take it from there.
Absolutely. Well, I was fortunate to spend my Thanksgiving in Tahiti. So instead of turkey, I had fish.
Sounds okay to me.
Yeah, it was all right. Let me say that.
So, anyway, this was the second experience of Tahiti on this trip, was it? The first part was the overwater bungalow.
Yes. I'm sure many of the listeners have seen photographs of what is, arguably the most popular experience to have in French Polynesia, of which Tahiti is one of the islands in French Polynesia, or one of the collection of islands.
Right.
And the overwater bungalows are those thatched roof bungalows that kind of sit on stilts over the crystalline waters. And the big feature of that is that you can walk down your staircase and be, you know, out snorkeling from the privacy of your own balcony, basically. So they're very, very popular with honeymooners and those celebrating their anniversary and that sort of thing.
And so, then you found that you had too much luggage for Paradise.
There were a lot that found we had too much luggage for Paradise, that's for sure. Yeah, you know, it's kind of nuts. Really, all you need at these incredible resorts are a bathing suit, a sarong, and possibly a sundress or two. And maybe some sunscreen, because it's a bit pricey to buy things at the resort.
And stamina.
Yes, and that's right. And you might want to bring, you know, you might save room packing and just bring a partner, as I jokingly said in my communiques to you, Roy. Not so much fun to go there alone. That's not the place you want to be single.
Right, exactly. Well, you had the honeymoon suite.
That I did have the honeymoon suite. I guess no one sprung for it with the night that I was there. The nights that I was there.
Now, you say there's 118 islands, and they're spread over 2 million square miles in the South Pacific. And
kind of boggling, isn't it?
Yeah, it actually is, because you realize that it's big, but one doesn't realize it's quite that big. And, of course, you go on to say that Captain Cook dubbed it the Pearl of the Pacific.
Yeah. It is one of those places, and there are a few places in the world that I've been fortunate to go to where the pictures have not been altered in terms of what you see printed in magazines or on posters or on websites or whatever. And the sheer beauty of the place is kind of breathtaking. And, you know, it took me returning to Atlanta and coming out of the subway on a gray, you know, November day to realize just how much I had gotten accustomed to those many, many shades of blue. It was almost like wallpaper, if you will, after a period of time. That beauty is so pervasive and it's so expansive. It's just the horizon lines as far as you can see.
I know, it's beautiful. You can see down 100 feet in the water, which is incredible at times, isn't it? Now, you had and I'm kind of pushing along here because we lost a little time in the beginning of this, but you've one of your favorite activities, which I find actually extraordinary, in fact, is the elaborate meal staged in a lagoon.
Yes, the second part of my trip, the first part I was in Bora Bora at the Bora Bora Lagoon Resort. The second part of my trip, I was on a private yacht, which is affiliated with the Bora Bora Lagoon Resort, and they actually make a small path for 7 days. You can go for shorter periods of time if you like, through those protected leeward islands. And the yacht has like a 2-to-1 staff ratio, and it's really exquisite. And the most astounding thing that they do, at least in my mind, that makes the biggest impact and impression, is they literally will take you in on a tender, a small boat, to a small motu, which is a private island, kind of like, you know, Gilligan's Island. You know, you're sort of castaways there, except you're castaways with a full bar and a full kitchen, and they will stage a full breakfast with omelets to order, and they'll set up tables, you know, in the water. And of course, the water is perfect temperature, and it's shallow, and it's clear, and it's extraordinary.
One might want to think about doing that in their pool at home.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, you know what, the water there is sort of like the world's largest infinity pool, except
right.
It's the ocean, right?
Right, exactly.
And
really terrific. Well, I'm going to run on into the next segment a little bit. We're going to skip break because we missed part of you in the beginning here while I was stumbling over part of your article. In any event, I'm sure Bob Fisher is listening and he'll advise our next guest that we're running a little late. But in any event, let's see. You said that the ages ranged from anywhere from 20-something to 70, but the camaraderie was just fine.
Yeah, you know, there's something about boating culture that really creates a camaraderie that you don't necessarily experience at the overwater bungalows. I think part of the experience that's so singular at the overwater bungalows is extraordinary privacy. And so I think listeners can determine what they would prefer in a holiday, or maybe they'd like a combination of both. And we found that many, many, many people enjoyed doing both experiences because the social factor, if you will, on the yacht was higher. And not that there were forced activities, but there were some evening lectures, there were some activities that I talk about in my story, where, for instance, a tattoo artist came.
Yeah, I
on
saw
board.
That. What a fascinating photo. For those that have access to the computer while you're listening to this, if you go to ttrn.com and click on this article, you'll see the photograph. A very attractive lady, by the way, I might say.
Yeah, she was actually on her honeymoon. She was she and her husband were from California, from the San Francisco area. And
I didn't know you had the bridal suite.
No. That was the bridal suite in the bungalow.
Oh, that was in the bungalow.
Everybody
right.
had the same suite on the yacht. They
right.
were all equally extraordinary.
Right.
And actually, the yacht is owned by a young, very sophisticated Tahitian woman. And I talk a little bit in my article about how she's really hand-selected the best art, the best staff from all over the world. She had the boat built, I think it was in Australia, and the furnishings were created, and the interiors were created out of Sweden. And there were many people on this boat that were extraordinarily well-traveled, far better traveled than I.
And they
told me that this was really among the most singular, one-of-a-kind experiences. I mean, it just was top-notch. And, of course, the sight lines were incredible. I mean, there is something that is different about being on a boat and experiencing those islands from being in the overwater bungalow. And I think, you know, if you're going to go that far around the world, you might as well have both experiences.
Exactly. And tell us a little bit about the honeymoon bliss treatment.
Oh. Well, that's incredible. The Bora Bora Lagoon Resort is situated on also a private motu, or private island, and they have created a spa that has been recognized as being one of the more indigenous spas in that part of the world. And so the treatments utilize native ingredients. Lychee, for instance, is a fruit that is utilized in that treatment. And vanilla, which is grown in the islands, is used in that treatment. And hibiscus blooms are used throughout the treatment, and that's, again, another flower that's prevalent in the islands.
But pineapple foot washing?
Yeah,
come
about
on.
That. And manioa oil.
Oh, yes.
Incredible. And just, you're so fragrant afterwards. And it's the spa itself is extraordinary because two of the rooms for the spa, not the room that I was actually enjoying my treatment in, but two of them are actually perched in a treehouse. So any of those listeners who really miss their treehouse childlike experiences, that would be a great way to recreate it in a pampering sense. So,
and then you say it It ends with a coconut milk and flower bath in a candlelit tub, floating with more petals as the sky tints the lavender and day. You know, what a marvelous thing!
It was gorgeous, and you know the weather is so soft and so gentle that
right.
every experience really is one that focuses on. Eliminating the barrier, the barriers between indoor and outdoor.
Right.
So you find that throughout the underwater or overwater bungalows, as well as the yacht experience. There are just almost no permanently closed environments for that reason, because the weather is extraordinary.
And, I mean, you must have been walking on air after you left that. I mean, it's certainly not a place to be alone.
No, it was a little bit tough to be alone, but I will say, you know, as a travel writer, people tend to adopt you when they find out what you
yes.
do. They're fascinated.
Yes,
so
yes.
You become an interesting third at dinner tables, or an interesting fourth or fifth or something
right.
if they're traveling with other people.
And especially at this one night where you had this poolside seafood buffet.
Right, right, exactly. And that was incredible. I mean, you know, there are lots of opportunities to enjoy the Polynesian culture, and many, many venues host, you know, dance performances with or without fire, you know, with these incredibly gorgeous raven-haired women and, you know, handsome buff fellows. And so it's very inviting. I mean, it's sort of like going to the truer Hawaii in a way, because you're so much more isolated and remote that the culture's a little more protected.
And we might before we end just mention that you've put down at the end of the article that there's a website for the Bora Bora Lagoon Resort, and their 800 number is 800, of course, 860-4095. And you mentioned the website, I guess, for the Tahiti Tourism North America is also a good site for checking
yeah.
information.
And I think one thing, Roy, that I do want to let listeners know is that, and readers on the web know, is it's actually closer than you think. From Los Angeles, it's a direct flight of 8 hours to arrive into Papeete, which is the capital, and then a very short hop to Bora Bora. So it's very doable, surprisingly so.
Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience, and we're going to be joining. I understand we're all going to be getting together in a couple of weeks up in Quebec City.
Absolutely, it'll be packing a little bit differently than I packed for Tahiti.
Well, I don't think we'll be having any dinners in Old Lagoon.
No, sadly, I don't think so.
But there are probably some warm toddies and some fun outdoor sports, I'm sure. So I'm looking forward to it, and. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you, and we'll see you then.
Take care, Roy.
Bye.
Bye.